Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow no matter what. This is your host, Greg Carter, and this is episode number 41. Today is February 10th, 2016. It is a balmy 18 degrees right now as I'm headed towards the back roads to be able to go home. So in today's episode, we're going to go back to the personal sovereignty series. And this one, it's been a while, but this is going to be the second in the series, and this is going to be called The Realization. But before we do that, I'm going to do something a little different. We're going to get our chores done, but there's going to be some stuff in there that I've never heard another podcaster ever do. Okay? All right. Well, first, I'd like to remind everybody about the Listener Appreciation Contest. Go to the blog. There'll be a link in there where it says Listener Appreciation Contest. Sign up. And as soon as we get to 1,000 subscribers on our Feedburner stats, we'll be giving away a $50 Amazon gift card. And there'll be some other prizes after that as well. On top of that, I'd like to remind everybody of the Rural Roundtable. That's a group of experts covering everything from off-grid living to permaculture to homemade soap. So we've got somebody that's willing to answer your questions, and just send your questions to theruraleconomist@gmail.com. I will get it to the appropriate expert, and we will get an answer in an upcoming episode. Okay? All right. Now, for the odd part, one of the Rural Roundtable members, actually two of the members, is Sean and Monica Mitzel from the Prepared Homestead, formerly the Courageous Life podcast. They recently had an interview with a lady who is a constitutional attorney, and I'm going to provide a link to that podcast. And after you get done listening to mine, I want you to listen to it, because it's really good. Okay? All right. Now let's get on to the main topic. Personal sovereignty, the realization. Now, the last time that we talked about this, we talked about the awakening, how that something has occurred to make you realize that something stinks in Denmark. Things are not as rosy as you would think, okay? There was an interview in Business Insider recently of one of the big wigs at Morgan Stanley, and they were talking about how the economy wasn't doing real well this first quarter. It started out good, but it's gotten choppy, okay? Something like that, something to do with your job, something to do with your family, weather event, whatever, dealing with FEMA, something has occurred to make you realize that you've kind of got to take the reins of your own life. Or maybe you've just gotten ticked off at your boss and you're wanting to strike out on your own and you're wanting to be able to do it. Or maybe you've gotten a massive tax bill. Okay? Well, as soon as you make the decision that you're going to take back your personal sovereignty, you start to look around and you come to a realization, hey man, this is not going to be easy to do. Because when people talk about cutting themselves off of the system, they're actually not being real honest with themselves, because it's not the system, it's the systems. Okay? Now, let me explain. Let me explain here, Lucy. Okay? You've got the monetary system, which is, you know, all the money. You go to work, you own a business, whatever. You bring in money in order to spend money, in order to have all the things that you need. Well, as soon as you get into the monetary system, all of a sudden you're in the tax system. The tax man cometh. Okay? and you realize that, holy cow, a lot of my income is going bye-bye. Okay, this is especially true for, like, young people. When they get their first job, they're all excited. They're going to make, I don't know, $8 an hour. You know, 8 times 40 hours is $320 a week. And then they get their first check, and they only get about, you know, depending on where they are in the country, they only get in somewhere between $250 and $280. And then they start looking at their check stub, and they realize how many stinking taxes that come out of their pay. Okay, there was a commercial a long time ago. I don't watch television anymore, but there was a commercial a long time ago that showed this teenager got his first check, and he said, "Who the heck is FICA and why do they get my money?" Okay? Now, as a previous business owner and a burgeoning business owner, when all of the income that a business owner, small business, micro business, cottage business, all of that, all of their income actually gets taxed, not at a higher rate, but you realize the rate. Now, I want you to understand something. When you look at your check and you go, okay, federal tax, state tax, okay, you may have local tax, Medicare tax, and then you look at FICA, which is your Social Security. Okay? Well, they take 7.5% off of your check that you can see. Now, your employer has to pay an additional 7.5%. And a lot of people honestly think that they don't earn that money. But they do. Because trust me, as a business owner, as a former business owner and a small micro business owner at the time, if I'm having to hire somebody, they've got to earn not only enough to pay their wage, not only enough to pay all the taxes that are involved, all of them that they see, all of them that they don't see, they also have to make a profit. They have to earn, it depends on how much you're doing and what they're doing and all like that, but they have to earn, you know, if you've got somebody paying them $8 an hour, by the time it's all said and done, if they're not earning you as a business owner $18 an hour, then they're really not worth being there. Okay? All right. Well, not only do you have the monetary system, not only do you have the tax system, but for most people, you have the debt system. Now, the debt system, we've talked about having some debt. We've talked about how that I don't have a major problem with people financing a car because, you know, it's, I don't care what anybody says, the average person cannot save up enough money to buy a car. There are very precious few $800 cars out there anymore. And if you do find them, the fact trying to keep them running long enough for you to save up enough money to get a $2,000 car is quite challenging. So I don't have a problem with somebody having a debt on an automobile. Now, I do have a problem with somebody who doesn't have their household in order, that just barely scraping by, doing hand to mouth, not doing a whole lot, you know, not being able to put anything back, going to the new car dealership and spending $600 a month on a brand new truck with a get back jack hat rack. Okay? You don't need a $62,000 pickup truck. I don't need a $62,000 pickup truck. I don't want one, but the debt system, it's just, well, it's only $40 more a month. It's only this, it's only that, and then it just adds up. Okay? All right. Now, the two that I think are, okay, real estate debt is absolutely fine as long as you can service the debt. As long as you know that you can service the debt, it's great. Okay, because you're buying a real property. You're buying an asset. Okay? An automobile, I can understand it. I've done it. I've done it recently. Okay? So, gotcha. As much as I drive and as much as I do, you know, I was able to find a really nice vehicle for not a lot of money. But I did have to finance it. Okay? All right. Now, consumer debt is the booger. Okay? The pennies card, the credit card, all like that. Now, we're still fighting credit card debt. We're trying our darndest to pay off our credit card debt because we actually kind of got in a tight. So, that's not cool, but you pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you go on, okay? But if you're just paying the minimum payments, it takes for flipping ever to pay off credit card debt. Even if your debt's only, you know, $500, if you're making the minimum payment, which in most cases is $25, and you've got an interest rate of anywhere from, I've seen 9%, I've seen 19%, I've seen 24%. You know, the higher the interest rate, even though they still have you at that little $25 a month, it's going to take you a heck of a lot longer to pay it off. A heck of a lot longer. So, but the thing about it is they want it set, they've got it set up where it's so easy. If you make your payments on time for 6 months, they'll raise your credit limit. Make it on time for 6 months again, they'll raise it again. And you just, well, you know, I need a new tire. Or you know, we hadn't gone out to eat in so long. Let's just go out to eat. My baby needs a new outfit or whatever. And then you just steadily, you dig in a hole. Okay? Christmas can be tough. You know, you want to give your kids the best you can, and things are tied, and that credit card's laying there, and it's really tempting sometimes to just use that credit card and go, well, just, I want them to have a good Christmas. Okay? Now, nobody's begrudging anybody having a good Christmas. But you've got to modulate yourself. You've got to control yourself. That's one of the issues that we had for a little while, is that we allowed ourselves to get in pretty deep, and we're having to dig ourselves out of the hole. Okay? So I'm not telling you, you know, I'm telling you from experience. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm all this great, I'm all this wonderful, I've done all these things. I'm telling you from experience, it's easy to get in a hole and it's hard to get out. Okay? All right? So you've got the monetary system. You've got the tax system. You've got the debt system. Well, then you got the electrical system, the water system, the garbage system, the this system, the that system, the other system, the food system, the transportation system, and then you sit back and you realize, oh my God, it's like an octopus, but it's got 900 legs instead of 8. And you go, okay, if I'm going to uncouple myself, I'm not going to be able to do it all at once. Now, that's the problem. A lot of people, once they make the decision, okay, I'm getting out of the rat race, I'm going to do better for myself, I'm going to change my life, and then they step back and they look around and they go, how the crap am I going to do this? There's feet and feelers and legs and cords and all this crap in you all over the place. So the uncoupling cannot happen all at once.
if you were to try to uncouple all at once, especially if you've got teenagers, then there's going to be a rebellion at home. Unless you've been preparing them for it all their life. So let's take just one example. Cable. Okay? Let's just take cable. Now, if you got kids that watch a lot of television, or your honey watches a lot of television, or you watch a lot of television, and it's your de-stress time, I want you to imagine what it would be like if you went home all at once and said, okay, kids, we're getting rid of the cable. It's going to be off tomorrow. We're just going to have to deal with it. Can you just imagine what that would be like? They would be all up in arms and be very upset. And it wouldn't take but about 2 days for everybody to go stir crazy. Okay? Now, that's just cable. Now, what some kids would do is if you just cut the cable, they'd go, okay, no big deal. They'd watch all their shows through the internet. Okay? But I want you to imagine what it would be like, and we've actually tried it, if you just went in one day, you didn't tell anybody, nice day, that way you didn't have to worry about air conditioning, you didn't have to worry about heat, and you threw the main breaker to the power. No video games, no internet, unless it's on your phone, no cable, no television, no rabbit ears, no radio, no nothing. It would be traumatic. No question about it. No question at all. It would be traumatic. Everybody would have to adapt to a new paradigm. Okay? All right. Now, that's especially true for most of the teenagers today. Now, I love my daughter. I love her. But when she comes home from school, I talk to her a little bit, and she plugs up her headphones, and she's in another world, and I have literally had to go tap on her shoulder to get her attention. Okay? Now, she does real good in school. Anything I tell her to do, she does. But she is all into the music. Okay? Now, I remember being all into the music, too. So I'm not begrudging her that, but just our addiction to stimulation, okay? Now, on the same token, we're not too far from the grocery store. Where we're at right now, we're about a mile and a half. Yeah, right at a mile and a half, okay? So if I decide I want to fix Apple Goody. If you don't know what Apple Goody is, I'll provide a link to a recipe that I've done. Did a blog post on it. It's been a couple of years ago now. Okay? And for some reason, I don't have applesauce. Well, it's nothing to just run to the store. It's nothing. Okay? So, we've got all of these systems that are sucking our energy. So, how do we begin to uncouple ourselves from the systems? They're kind of like leeches. If you just try to pull them right straight off, it's going to hurt and it's not going to work because their fangs are curved, you know. So you got to work slow. If you've been around a while, I've got a system that I believe that you can use to do basically anything, and I call it the SIS system, S-I-I-S. Small, intentional, incremental steps. Okay? So, one thing that I preach and I preach and I preach and I preach and I preach is to produce some of your own food. I don't care if it's just herbs. I don't care if it's just a couple of tomato plants. I don't care what it is. Produce some of your own food. Now, we just recently, my dad on his place, he's got 12 acres and we're on a half acre, okay? It's not our permanent homestead, but it's where we are now, so we make the best of what we got. Well, he slaughtered a pig and he gave us some of the meat. So, one night, it was my night to fix supper, I decided that I was going to fix some of them pork chops from the pig that my dad had slaughtered. My wife has never tasted real farm-raised pork before. And let me tell you something, there's a difference between farm-raised and commercial-raised pork. When we raised a hog, when my dad raises a hog, they're out in the sunshine, they get to run around, they get petted on, they get talked to, they get grubs and just anything that we throw in there to them. They get slop and they get supplement and they get all this stuff. When they're in the commercial system, when they're in the factory farms, they're not allowed to move. It's just bad, okay? So she had never tasted real pork. She'd always tasted factory pork. Well, I cooked these pork chops. They were marbled real nice, had good fat. They were good. Oh, man. And she just got addicted. She just loved it. Okay? So producing some of your own food or getting with people in the farmers markets or community supported agriculture. Now, I've got a podcast episode coming up on what to do if you cannot grow a garden, so be looking for that in the near future. But producing some of your own food or obtaining some of your food outside of the commercial food production system, it's very important. Okay? Next, cut your reliance as much as possible on the electrical grid. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and spend $10,000 to $40,000 on a solar panel system that produces your own electricity. If you have the money, it may not be a bad deal. But right now, the efficiency is still not really that good, okay? Unless you have a tracking system and all of this stuff. Now, I do know people that are completely off-grid. But you cannot be off-grid and run a household like most of us run a household. You've got to watch every single kilowatt that you use and every single kilowatt that you produce. But there are some things that we can do to limit our reliance, okay? Which I talked about this some yesterday with the guy who asked questions about starting to move off-grid. Look at your efficiencies. You know, I used to hate LED bulbs. I still don't like the fact that the government forced them, but they've come down enough to where I don't hate them anymore. Okay, but when I look at a light bulb that produces 1100 lumens, which is like a 75 watt old incandescent bulb equivalent, that only uses like 18 watts of power and has a life expectancy on average of 15 years, and they cost about $4 a piece, I'm okay with that. I don't like the compact fluorescents. They play weird things with my eyes sometimes. I don't like them. But the LEDs have come a long way. They've gotten a lot less expensive, and they really do save you a lot of electricity. Alternative heating and heating sources. Now, like I said, when we opened up, it was 18 degrees, I think is what it was when I started heading home. Okay? Having a fireplace, having a wood heater, having something like that, having kerosene. Kerosene's gotten stupid expensive, and that just does not make sense. I think it's due to regulations, because kerosene's a leftover. It should not be as expensive as it is. But having a backup heating source, being able to reduce the temperature on your thermostat, is going to save you some money. Making sure you turn off the lights, all of that stuff. Everybody said it. I know I'm not saying anything new. But by doing that, you're reducing your dependence. Okay? Open the window. Use the natural light outside. There is no reason to have a light on in the house in the middle of the daytime. The only reason I could see to do that is if you're in a neighborhood that if somebody sees you in there, there's going to be a brick come through the window. And I hope you're not in that situation. But there are some places that are that bad. Okay? And I know that. Reduce your dependence on the water system. Now, the water system is actually one of the easiest ones to start cutting your resistance, unless you're in one of these states that has these crazy rules against water catchment. Water catchment can be done reasonably inexpensively and can really help you out. I've drawn up plans for my house to increase our water catchment. And if it works the way I believe it does, and I've tried to do my math right, I will be able to replace 100% of any irrigation that I'll have to do. And if it works actually the way I think it will, I will actually go in and we will be able to run the toilets on water catchment. That alone will reduce our dependence on the water system. Now, we also have a well. And once I am able to scrape up enough money to get me a decent well pump and a diaphragm tank, we're going completely off-grid as far as water goes. Once we do that, that's one system that we've completely eliminated ourselves from. And that's the way that you got to do it, okay? You've got to go, okay, where can I make an impact? Where can I cut things down? What can I reduce? Okay? Garbage, same way. Exactly the same way. You go, okay, so we spend this much on garbage. Now, some places, it's a set rate a month. Or where we are, it's actually a set rate a quarter. And they charge so much for one can and so much for two cans, okay? Other places, they actually charge by the amount of stuff that you put out, which just, that would be a real pain in the butt if you're the garbage guy. But by reducing your output, then you may be able to actually do away with your garbage collection. Now, I have done it in the past. I got real stingy, and I got to where everything I could, I was canning, I was reusing all the jars, everything that I could recycle, I recycled, everything that I could compost, I composted. I tried to avoid as much as possible all of the plastics, and we had a little trailer, and about once a month, I took my little trailer with whatever I couldn't reduce at the time to the dump and paid them at the dump, and it wound up saving me about half, including my fuel to go to the dump. It wound up saving me about half what the garbage bill was where we were at the time. So sometimes you got to get outside of the box to be able to come up with your solutions. Okay? But you can do this. Set yourself goals. That's what we're doing. We're setting ourselves goals. And we're looking, we're comparing last year's electricity usage with this year's electricity usage. Okay? If there's not a definitive drop year on year, something's wrong. And thus far, for the past 5 months that I've been doing it, there's been a significant drop year on year usage of electricity, which means that we're doing better. That means that the electric company is getting less of our money. Water usage, it's a pain in the butt where we are. That's why I'm really wanting to do the water catchment, and I'm really wanting to get that well in. Because where we are, it just, they charge for water and they charge for sewer. And the thing about it is if you're inside that area, as long as you're on city water, it doesn't matter if you're on sewer or not. They charge you for sewer even if you don't use it. Bugs eat fire out of me. So by setting goals, I'm going to reduce this much this month. I'm going to cut this out this month. I'm going to put this much money back this month. I'm going to pay off this bill this month. I'm going to pay a little bit extra this month. Then gradually, systematically, small, intentional, incremental steps, you're slowly uncoupling yourself from the systems. Once you're able to do that, then your personal sovereignty goes up. Because that's what it's all about. You've got to be able to get to a point. If it's something that you really, really want, you've got to start working yourself to where you can go, okay, I've finally eliminated this system or that system. Okay? My goal this year is during the growing season, during the gardening season, is to produce a minimum of 40% of our vegetarian requirements out of our garden. That's my desire. I want to be able to put up as much food as I can. That way, the harvest that I get from the bountiful times also trickles out and it reduces our dependence all throughout the year. It can be done. There are people who do it. Okay? I would like to hear what you're trying to do. I'd like to know what's going on with you. How you're working towards being more self-sustainable. I love it. I love hearing from you. I really do. Okay? All right. I hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow will be a completely different subject. I feel like I've been beating the same horse, but it's what people have been asking about, so that's good. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, send them to theruraleconomist@gmail.com. I promise you I'll answer them. I've actually got 3 or 4 that I'll be doing out next week. I'm looking forward to that. So it's going to be cool. I appreciate your time. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and don't forget to give us a rating. Appreciate it. Step by step, we're bringing rural back. Bye-bye.